Hello, it's Stacey Holt from Real Estate Excellence. Thank you for joining me for this podcast. I'm recording this podcast on the 12th of December 2023, and as I speak, our thoughts are with Far North Queensland members, clients, friends, and all. This podcast, I'm going to focus on some tips in relation to a step-by-step guide for property managers and owners impacted by natural disasters, plus on a couple of other matters, and also for tenants. Now, the information I'm sourcing from, we emailed to our free emailing list a few days ago now to all of Queensland, not knowing where Cyclone Jasper was actually where it was going to go at the time. And we still know things are uncertain, but it's looking likely Far North Queensland, of course, at the time of this recording. So property managers, licensees, a couple of things to no doubt, and I'm seeing a lot in social media, particularly from member offices and also from emails, that people have already, today's Tuesday, it's the cyclone's due to impact on Wednesday the 13th, that have already battened down, so to speak, and working from home or other. But obviously making sure that the remote setup for work and everything that needs to be printed has been printed. From your, including your rent roll, key register, and more. Plus, I remind Property Management Excellence PME System members, folder chapter 34 of the PME System is natural disasters. There's more procedures there. Please email us, members. You know where we are. Let me get back to the podcast. Now, step one, safety first, as I'm sourcing from the RTA, their very useful guide, which obviously is on their website, the RTA website. Type in natural disasters and there's a step-by-step guide for tenants or lessors. I've also got it at realestateexcellence.com.au under the industry update tab. Right at the top, you'll see it at current time of podcast. Or anyone, please email us if you have any trouble, if we can assist you with these fact sheets from the RTA. So as the RTA rightly say, step one, safety first. In the event of a natural disaster, staying safe has to be our number one priority. And do not attempt to enter any property until it's safe to do so. And obviously follow any active public directives focusing on safety first. If you must property managers enter a property after this passes, in case of emergency, or to prevent imminent or further damage, which is one of the reasons entry can be made under law, rules of entry in the RTRA Act. Ensure the electricity is off and only switch back on after it's been assessed by a professional and deemed safe. Now, PMs, we can enter in this situation without notice, but in all other circumstances, if it's not an emergency or to protect imminent or further damage, we need to provide the tenant notice before we or a third party enter, so rules of entry apply. Step two, so that's step one, safety first, and if you must enter in case of an emergency, ensure the electricity is off. Step two, contact the tenant. If you think your property that you manage may have been impacted by a natural disaster, aka Cyclone Jasper, on its way, contact your tenant as soon as possible. Be mindful that power and service outages may affect your ability to get in contact with your tenants immediately. So again, like everyone works differently, but I personally would have printed out my rent roll. I would assess the storm surge areas with the king tide as well that's coming, and then assess in the days to come what's happening there. Now, step three, assess the property. If the rental property is significantly impacted during the disaster, it may be needed to be assessed by a qualified tradesperson to determine whether it's livable or not. Now, under the Act, Section 284, is the relevant section about non-livability. And it's most of it is whether it's fully or partially destroyed, or it can no longer be used lawfully as a residence because it doesn't meet health and safety standards. So we need to assess whether it's a complete non-livability and or whether it's a partial and can be safely and health standard lived in, which is another avenue in relation to rent reductions coming. If the damage isn't significant, you or the tenant can do an informal assessment of the property individually or together. If you or a third party are assessing the property, you'll need to provide the tenant notice before you enter. When you can safely access the property, the RTA recommends taking photos of any damage or asking the tenant to share any photos. And that's a big one. Communication with your tenants is number one. Now, while I'm talking to you, I mentioned at the beginning there's an RTA Brilliant Guide, a step-by-step guide for tenants. Please, if you haven't already, given we emailed it to our free industry mailing list the other day, plus members, you're of course on that list, plus I've shared on social media, plus it's on my website, plus of course the RTA website. I urge you, if you're listening to this today on the 12th of December, send the tenants the step-by-step natural disaster guide. Hopefully they don't need it, but being proactive, because communication is going to be the key in the coming days and weeks, and particularly sharing information about what's happening with the property and your tenants. Determine the next step, step four. Once the property has been assessed, we'll need to work through the tenancy options with the tenant. Remember, the safety of anyone entering or staying at the property is the priority. The property must be safe and livable, and health and safety requirements must be considered. Now, before you decide on the best course of action, you may want to discuss the situation with the insurer. Now, that's a big factor. You need to bring in the lessor sooner rather than later, almost immediately, please. And if there's damage at any shape or form, the lessor to notify their insurer. It's their private policy. It's not for property managers to be doing insurance claims per se, in my risk best practice view. They can. But it's the lessor's private policy, and the property manager liaises with the owner and then with the insurer as needed. But the owner, the property owner, the lessor, needs to notify their insurer and get instructions, and then it all works through together. And that, particularly PME system members, is one of my many tips in my best practice disaster guide in folder 34 of the PME manual. So before the best, before we, the best course of action is decided, discuss the situation with the lessor who contacts the insurer, and then, depending on the type of and coverage that they have. Now, there's a number of options ending a tenancy because the property is unlivable. Now, option one, a tenancy does not automatically end when a property becomes unlivable during a natural disaster. The tenancy only ends if one of the following occurs. Mutual agreement, which is one of the lawful ways, of course, to end a tenancy, a Form 12 given by lessor agent on grounds of non-livable, or the tenant gives a Form 13 or notice or written notice of intention to leave on grounds of non-livable, or QCAT orders it. Now, until a notice is given, the tenant's responsible for paying rent, even if they've had to evacuate the property. Now, the tenancy agreement ends on the day the notice to leave or notice of intention to leave due to non-livability is given, unless the person issuing it chooses to provide a longer notice period. So the grounds for notice to leave or notice of intention to leave notice is on the same day. So the tenancy ends on the same day unless the person issuing it chooses a longer period. Notice to end the tenancy on the grounds of non-livability must by law be given within 1 month of the natural disaster occurring. It's the tenant's responsibility to find alternative accommodation. And then it goes on to say, of course, if we have other rental properties available or vacant, they may be options to be discussed with the tenant. What if the tenant wants to stay or doesn't leave the property? If we've given a Form 12 on the grounds of non-livability and the tenant disagrees, explain why it's obviously not safe and why we've given this. Now, you may want to contact the RTA for assistance, who most likely, excuse me, will prioritise given the seriousness. If dispute resolution isn't successful and/or the tenant fails to leave, we've got 14 days from issuing the Form 12 for non-livability same day notice period to make an urgent application to QCAT for a warrant of possession. Now, the couple of other options. Option two, tenant stays in the property while it's repaired. If they're able to, obviously health and safety and all that's been met, and so it's partially damaged, but able to be lived in. The tenant may want to stay and see if we can come to an agreement. In this situation, we can choose to offer a rent reduction or compensation. And rent reductions or rent compensation, so they still pay the rent but then get compensated X amount of money during the period while the property is being repaired. Any agreed rent reduction must be documented in writing and should both keep a copy. Depending on the situation of the severity, I'd be urging rent compensation so the tenant continue to pay their rent, and then we have an agreement. Members, we've got a template for this, so members email us if you need. So tenants continue to pay the full rent, then they get compensated the agreed amount in writing until the property is rectified and back to the standard it was previously. The option three, tenant leaves the property temporarily and returns later. If the property is unlivable or needs extensive repairs, the tenant may prefer to continue the tenancy and live in alternative accommodation while it's being fixed. Again, the lessor doesn't have to pay for that accommodation. In this situation, reduced rent can be offered or no rent until repairs are made, and again, all in writing. Step 5, repairs and insurance. Obviously, we're responsible with the owner of maintenance and organising any repairs needed to bring the property back to its livable condition, including repairs to matters such as carpets, fences, windows, doors, roofs, etc. And these repairs need to comply with relevant health and safety laws and should be organised within a reasonable time frame, which is easier said than done. And of course, hoping that the impact of Cyclone Jasper is not going to be too major, but together we'll see. Insurance, obviously with your lessor, who it's their policy, they need to liaise with their insurer. PMs will support their lessor, goes without saying. And of course, and liaise with insurers, but the lessor initiates the policy. Again, I can't stress the useful guide, step-by-step guide by the RTA for tenants, and also what I just referenced from for PMs and owners at my website, realestateexcellence.com.au. Email us. We're more than happy just to send you the links. Take us 2 seconds in the hope of helping anyone. Members, if you need specific advice as opposed to just that, please, you know, we're an email away. And of course, RTA website, type in natural disasters. And PME, Property Management Excellence System members, a reminder that folder chapter 34 is a disaster guide, templates, and a lot more. So I urge you to print out your rent roll, have all the tenants' details on the ready, send the tenants the step-by-step guide for tenants' natural disaster information. Communicate, get your landlord list, your landlord numbers, and have everything at the ready. And most importantly, look after yourself first, and safety first, number one. And then once it's passed, safety first continues in relation to inspecting property. People are going to have to be reasonable more than ever, given the time of year, the already issue in relation to contractors. And look, we'll all get through this together. And just be patient and realise that some things are going to take quite some time. And you can't control that. There's nothing more you can do but your best, and that will be more than enough. So thank you. I wish again Far North Queensland all the best during this period, and thank you for joining me. This is Stacey Holt from Real Estate Excellence, and bye for now.